Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What more wonderful news can we hear than this? None, my friends. None. We are justified by faith. Now, interesting little note here. Well, you've heard me give in sermon after sermon over the last 3 years a definition of faith, the verb faith, pistuo, which is an action one takes based upon one's belief, which is undergirded and supported and built up by confidence in the one in which one believes. Or the thing, and I've used the illustration of the chair, and until you actually sit in the chair, you have not exercised faith. You might believe it'll support your weight. You might truly have confidence it'll support your weight because it's supported it before. Or you've seen it support other people. You have an experience of it having supported you before. But until you actually sit down in that chair, you are not exercising faith. And salvation is very similar. You can believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can have true confidence that He will save you. But until you place your life in His arms, in His steady hands, you don't have faith. Until you hang your life on the promises of Christ contained in the Old and New Testaments, until you hang your life literally on the cross where He hung Himself, my friends, you don't have true saving biblical faith. Faith is literally taking your belief and putting your body in action behind it. Well, here in chapter 5 of Romans, we begin with Paul writing to the church in Rome, since we are justified by faith. And here he uses the noun form, that which the verb generates. The substance that the verb of placing one's belief into action produces. It's a noun here. The substance, faith. We are justified by the very substance, the very result, the very thing that the action produces. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you may notice I'm taking these verses apart, and we're going to take about 5 of them apart as we go through the first part of today's reading. Since we are justified, what's the meaning of the word justified here? On my computer, when I'm using my word processor, when I'm putting something together for Peggy for the newsletter, and she's standing behind me, tapping her foot and looking at her watch and waiting for me to finish, I'm sitting there. When I get it all done, I hit a little button that says justify margins. And on both sides, they line up magically, almost. And somehow, what I've written is brought into 2 even, nice, parallel lines. Lined up with a ruler across the top of the screen. I have justified those margins. I've brought those margins away from that jaggedy right-hand look to a nice straight line. And His grace and life and our exercise of faith justifies our living with Jesus' ruler. When we are justified, we are brought into alignment with God's expectation for us in Christ's eyes. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, brought in alignment with God's will by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace, eirene in Greek. Wonderful, wonderful word. It means the end of conflict, the end of strife, the end of war, the end of againstness. It means God is not against you. And it means by result, you are not against God. If you're justified, if your life is lined up with His will, then you are not against God. So when we are justified by faith, we axiomatically, that means by pure definition of being justified, we have peace the end of strife, the end of againstness, the end of the separation with God. Boy, my friends, that's good news. Can I get an amen? We have peace with God. Not through our works, not through our being good, not through our trying to do God's will, but through faith, being justified, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not what we do, my friends, what He did on the cross almost 2,000 years ago. And our response to that gift brings us peace with God. Let's keep going. Through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. Grace. Grace, charis in Greek. Grace, the unearned, unmerited, undeserved favor of God. I love the definition I've heard. Justice. Justice is getting what you deserve. If you're out there on the road on 175 driving, doing 65 miles an hour, and them Segoville cops pull you over and they give you a ticket, you got justice. You got what you deserved. You were going 5 miles over the speed limit and they're sitting out there at that radar. And they'll get you every time. Isn't that right, Mr. Mayor? He hopes. What help are you? Now, you might say, well, that was only 5 miles over the speed limit. Sorry, speed limit's 60. You were going 65. That's justice. Mercy is he clocks you going 65, pulls you over, sees that you're the mayor and says, oh, well, I won't write you a ticket. Oh, you hope. Sees that you're a sweet little old blue-haired lady. Says, you remind me of my grandmother. I won't give you a ticket. That's mercy. Not getting what you deserve. Not getting what you deserve. That's mercy. But you're out there on that road with your 16-year-old teenager who just has their driving permit. And they're out there doing 75 miles an hour. And you're sitting in the back seat with your hands over your eyes crying because you can't stop her. And the cop pulls you over, takes a look inside, sees who's driving, sees the white knuckles and the look on your face, and gives you $50. My friend, that's grace. Getting what you don't deserve. Getting what you don't earn. Getting what you have not merited and can never merit. That's grace. That's wonderful, glorious, amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Can I get an amen? Grace is getting what you don't deserve. What you cannot possibly merit. You might get mercy. You're lucky. You're probably going to get justice if you're unlucky. But if you are graced, you get what you don't deserve, what you can't possibly deserve. That's good news, my friends. What does Paul say? Through whom we have obtained access to this grace. We receive God's unearned, unmerited favor, love, presence, gifts. God's unearned gift of love and acceptance. We receive it. We have obtained access to it through our Lord Jesus Christ, in which we stand. Estekhamen is the Greek word. It is a perfect, we're going to have a Greek lesson. You knew you couldn't get away today without a Greek lesson. I've been doing that regularly now. It is a, estekhamen is a perfect, active, indicative verb. Perfect, active, indicative. Now, what does that mean? I mean, when I was in elementary school, I had a real problem with the tenses. I knew what past tense was, and I knew what present tense was, and I knew what future tense was. But what in the world is past perfect or future perfect? And when you get to Greek, it's even harder, because while in English you got, you know, several tenses, in Greek you got 9 tenses. Ouch. Perfect tense in Greek is past tense, action that occurred in the past that is still in force today. We began worship at 10:50, and we are still in worship now. That is the perfect tense concept in Greek. It is action that took place in the past. Worship began at 10:50, and it is still in force right now. Okay? That's the meaning of the perfect tense. All right. That was easy. That was harmless. Didn't even hurt, did it? Perfect tense is action began in the past, currently in effect now. As opposed to imperfect tense, which is action that occurred in the past and might or might not be active now. As opposed to aorist tense, action that occurred in the past and was in the past and stays in the past because it was done at a particular moment in the past and is not in action today. Sunday school class is over. Aorist tense, it took place. And it's over. And if it's still going on, you're in the wrong place, friends. All right? So perfect tense is action that took place in the past and is still in effect or in force today. That's perfect tense. All right. Perfect active. Active voice. What in the world does that mean? It's not something that has to be done to us if it's active. Active voice is when we are doing the action. I am walking is active. Actually, I am walking is present active indicative right now. I am walking. All right? But, let's see. These glasses were placed on that hymnal. That is not active, but passive voice. The subject is acted upon in passive. The subject is moving or is doing the action in active. That's simple too, isn't it? So, we have a perfect, active, indicative. What's indicative mood? There's a difference between indicative and subjunctive. It means, a subjunctive is, it might have happened, or it could have happened, or it should have happened, with the assumption being that it didn't. Indicative is a statement of fact. It happened. It's real. You are here is an indicative statement, I think. Well, most of you are here. Some of you may be, okay, well, what's for lunch? Others may be going, what am I doing here? But you are here. Rose, you are here. That's an indicative statement, right? Amen. Good. She is here. Whereas, let me pick on somebody. Let's see, he's not here, but I can pick on him safely. Vernon should be here. Amen. All right. He said he would. Yes. Yeah. That's subjunctive. He should have be here, but he's not. Indicative is a statement of fact. Subjunctive is a statement of what ought to be or what could be. In the future tense, we pray he'll be here next Sunday. All right. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. We needed that amen. I hope he listens to this. Put it out to him on the internet, please. Okay. It is a present active indicative verb. Estekamen. What does that mean? To stand. It means I am standing here. I have been standing here for about 5 seconds. That is the perfect concept. I started standing here about 10 seconds ago now, and I have been standing here ever since. And I am doing the action of standing. All right? That is perfect active indicative. And that's exactly what we do when we stand in God's grace. We began standing in God's grace, and we are standing in God's grace now. And we are doing the standing. It's an active verb. This baptismal font was stood here about a month and a half ago. I stood it up here with the help of Tim, I think it was. We manhandled it up onto the platform up here, and we stood it here. It didn't get up here on its own. It didn't stand up there on its own. We stood it up there. And it's been standing there ever since. That is perfect passive indicative, i.e., it was acted upon to stand there. We are active indicative. When we stand in God's grace, we are active. And it began in the past, he says here, and it's continuing today. Wow. That means, friends, that we have a role to play in receiving God's grace. It's not just something that we passively receive. You just kind of sit there like a lump on a log and have it fall onto you. No. There are no couch potatoes in heaven. You must act in faith. Faith is an active verb. You must act in faith. You must be active in standing in God's grace. It doesn't add to God's grace. It doesn't change God's grace. But it is that in which we stand. And through faith, receive. In other words, faith, the Christian life, standing in grace is something that we have a role in participating in. That means we must respond in faith. You cannot be passive. You must be always active. All right. Through whom we have, Jesus, let's start over at the very beginning. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. What grace? God's grace. The grace of peace. The grace of being justified by faith. The grace, indeed, the very grace of standing, which is a gift in and of itself. But we do respond with an active act of standing. All right. And we boast in our hope of the glory of God. We boast in our hope of the glory of God. The word here, boast, does not mean brag. Most people, when they're boasting, they're saying, look at what I've done. Look at what I've achieved. Look how good I am. Look how wonderful I am. Look how great I am. Even when a mother goes, look how beautiful my child is. They're really talking about themselves too, friends. Look at how wonderful this is. That's boasting, friends, in a bragging sense. This is not bragging. The word originally means to express an unusually high degree of confidence in someone or something being exceptionally noteworthy. When we are looking and boasting in this sense, we are looking at what God has done, at what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, what God does for us in grace, what God will do for us in glory. If we stand and maintain hope, when we stand and maintain hope. Wow. Let's not miss the whole essence of the phrase here. And we boast. We express a high degree of confidence in our hope of the glory of God. Hope. Now I'm going to come back to that word hope in just a minute. I want to focus on something different. Glory. Doxa. When we sing the doxology after we take up the offering, we stand and sing what's called the doxology. It's based on the word glory in Greek. We are giving glory and praise to God for all that He has done for us. And we return a tiny, itty-bitty, infinitesimally tiny, small portion of what He has done for us in making our, when we make our offering unto Him. So that's why we stand after we take the offering and sing the doxology, the proclamation or the communication of glory to God. My friends, the most amazing thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ to me, for those of us who are already in the Christian walk, who are already standing in grace, is that we will someday receive God's glory. We will stand and share in God's glory. To me, that's amazing. Because I look at the dirty rags of my life. Thank you, Jim. I look at the dirty rags of my life. And I see I am not glorious. I'm dirty rags. I am a sinner. I fail. I fail to meet the mark of God's expectation for me. And yet, God promises, through His grace and peace, when we stand in His grace, we will truly obtain, and we have the hope of obtaining, God's glory. Now, what about this word hope? Hope. Most people think of hope as something that, well, it's not going to happen. It's something that, you know, could happen. I hope to receive $1 million. Yeah, right. I hope to win the lottery. Yeah, right. Please, win it. Please, please. I hope to look like Tom Cruise. Ever going to happen? No. But we still hope for those kinds of things, right? Not here. Elpida in Greek does not mean wishful thinking. Neither does faith. In fact, in the very middle of the word elpida, you have the root stem P, or P-I. That's the same root stem from which the word faith in Greek is formed, friends. It means something very similar. We have a hope. And that's an assurance. That's a confidence, my friends. We have confidence. When we stand in God's grace, we have confidence of receiving, attaining, receiving God's glory. Sharing in God's glory. Wow. That's good news. That means we may still be sinners, and we are. Trust me. We are still sinners, yet by faith, Jesus Christ has lined us up with His will. And when we stand in grace, we have the assurance, the confidence, the hope that we will share in the glory of God. The same glory that shone forth from Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration will one day in heaven, my friends, in the kingdom of God fully established, will shine forth from you and me. Wow. Can I get an amen? Amen? Thank you. Let's keep going. And, I mean, this is just great. I just love it. Thank you, Paul. We're going to get to have the glory of God. We have the hope for that. Yeah. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings. Oh. And not only that, Paul, you are going great. Let's quit. Let's just quit right now, okay? No. No. And we also boast, express great confidence in, great expectation and prize and excitement in. And we not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, in our tribulations. Philipsein. Trouble involving direct suffering, trouble and suffering, suffering, persecution, in other words, tribulation. I don't want to boast in tribulation. I don't want to boast in suffering. I don't want to boast in persecution. I just want to have the glory. Sorry. You can't have one without the other. You know, I wish Paul hadn't written this. We also boast in our sufferings. Let's keep going. Knowing that suffering produces endurance. Hupomone is endurance in the Greek. It means to stay. It means to hold fast. It means staying power. Wow. When we suffer, when we go through tribulation, when we are persecuted, it produces, assuming it doesn't wipe us out, it produces endurance. It better produce endurance. And endurance produces character. Dokimein is the word character. The proven or evident worth of something or someone. Value. Suffering produces staying power. And staying power produces value. Character. Wow. Character and character produces hope. Ooh. So in other words, we have this hope within us, this expectation, this faithful expectation of obtaining and sharing in God's glory. When we stand in grace, and when we stand in grace, we are faced with suffering and persecution and tribulation. And that tribulation produces endurance. And that endurance produces character, value. And that character or value produces hope, faithful expectation. Wow. Why? Why do we have to have both? Why does tribulation and suffering come in this life? I'll give you one word answer, and you probably know it before I say it. His name is Satan. Now, my friends, so long as you're doing nothing but sitting out there, not going to church, not reading the Bible, not partaking of the means of grace, not living in faith, so long as you're just sitting there doing nothing, la-di-da-di-da, life's fine, nothing wrong with me, Satan don't care about you. He's already got you. But the minute you start living in faith, the minute you start walking in faith, the minute you start standing in God's grace and having hope for the glory He's going to give you, my friends, that moment you've hung a target on your rear and Satan's shooting at you. That's why we suffer. That's why there is persecution. That's why there is tribulation for those who stand in God's grace. I don't like that, Greg. Okay, fine. Then you just stay on your couch. Sit there, surf the channels, and do absolutely nothing. And you'll be nice and happy in this life. But not in the next. Live in faith, my friends. Stand in God's grace, my friends. Dodge the arrows of Satan, my friends. Dance with Jesus and you'll avoid the arrows or they'll miss you. Sometimes you'll get hit, but it's okay. Jesus is with you. And you'll share in that glory. So stand in grace. Amen, indeed. And hope does not disappoint us. Because God's love, why doesn't it disappoint us? Paul tells us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Ooh, wow. Hope does not disappoint us. even amidst the trials and tribulations, even amidst the persecution and Satan shooting arrows at your behind, hope does not disappoint us. Why? Because, Paul writes, God's love, God's agape, God's amazing, self-giving, never-ending love. God's love has been poured out into our hearts, the very center of our beings, through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Simple little message today, my friends. We are called to have faith in Jesus Christ. That faith, that substance, is part of the mechanism through which God gives us His peace. We stand in His grace, and by standing in His grace, we indeed have the hope of receiving the glory of God. And with that, we also face suffering, trial and tribulation, which indeed produces endurance, and that endurance produces character, and that character produces hope, and that hope does not disappoint us. Because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. What a simple message today. It's a message of hope, my friends. A message of faith. A message of grace. A message of peace. A message that we can rest in faith, active faith, throwing ourselves, literally tossing ourselves into God's unchanging, enfolding arms. My friends, don't sit back and be passive. Be active in faith. Don't slouch around. Stand in God's grace. And give the glory to God, because we have hope that He will give us the transforming glory of our Savior Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.